Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, singer-songwriter Sean McCann gets the energy to perform from running.
It's the energy that I got from the run. Like, people think it's a depletion of energy, but you and I both know it's not. It's putting energy in your body that you can use all day and the next day. So, you know, it's all a matter about running carefully and not hurting yourself, because the benefits are long-lasting.
Pushing to a Boston qualifying run.
The last 3 or 4 kilometers, wanting nothing more than just to give up and lie down in the ditch and saying to yourself, I can do another 100 meters, I can do another 100 meters, I can do another 100 meters, and just keep moving forward until you hit your goal.
And taking up marathon running at the age of 65.
All my worries disappear, everything disappears, and I'm in it like a zen place where I just love it. And I've met the most wonderful friends. Runners, I have decided, are the most wonderful people in the world.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty terrible.
Why are you terrible?
2 times in a row, I've had to take a cab home for my long run. I just threw in the towel at like 22K, and they said, you know what? I'd rather be eating hamburgers. And I don't know. I
wow.
Got the moral fortitude to bring it in. I don't know. I hope I don't lose my job for this. But I don't know what
so,
it is.
So you're out on your long run, and and you just decide, you know what? I'm getting an Uber. Like that's what's going on.
I'm out on my long run. I'm like, you know, awfully hot out here, and I got a million things to do. Yeah, I think, there's a guy right there. I'd be more comfortable in the back of a taxi cab. Yeah, and I went in our iRun Facebook community group, and I was like, okay, this is it. I'm having a rematch with 30K. I'm doing it today, people. And they were like, yeah, okay, you can do it. And then, like, 2 hours later, I'm like, nope, got a cab again. So, yeah, I don't know. I cab.
So you're literally like 10K from home, and the only option is just to get in the back seat of a taxi.
I mean, I don't know if it's the only option. That's what I'm saying. Like,
right.
If I'm like, I just got off the phone, I'm not going to do a humble brag, but I just got off the phone with Reed Coolset, who's in our new issue, and he's breaking down Andre DeGrasse running style, and he's saying how to like tweak how he runs and how we can run like him. Anyway, I was whining to him, and I was telling him about my woes, and he was like, well, I don't have a goal race. No, that's the thing. I'm not really, like, I'm not training for anything. So when you're not
right.
training for anything, it's like, here's a pub right here. I think I'll just, you know.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, it's been very hot the last couple of weekends. And even the organizers of the Montreal Marathon decided, you know what, we're not doing the marathon this year. We'll do the half marathon, but we're not doing the marathon.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know how runners are. So they cancel the marathon, and but they give refunds and things, and they do what they can, and they say, like, you know, you can go run any. It was a rock and roll race, I think, and the rock and roll. It was a rock and roll race, and they were like, you can go do any of our events. Whatever, so they try to make nice with the runners, but the runners are still like, I trained for the marathon.
Yeah.
But then they do the half, and 900 people in the half marathon needed first aid. So can you imagine the carnage
wow.
of a marathon? I mean, it is so that it's no joke, the temperatures. So
yeah, and I think in fairness to the organizers, well, you never want to see an event canceled, of course. Especially with a marathon, people have to keep in mind, you've got to keep track of runners spread out over 42 kilometers. You can't have a first aid station every 100 meters over 42 kilometers. So when it's that spread out, it's really hard to manage. If everybody was participating in an event on a football field, and it was hot, at least you could have medical personnel all in one space, and you'd know when somebody went down, and they'd be right there to help you. But they can't promise that on a marathon course.
Yeah, that's a very good call. And you know, I think the last couple of races, I mean, I remember Ottawa last May, they were flirting with whether or not to cancel it. And even in the Army Run this past, whenever that was, this month, or, you know, they're talking about it. And I saw the race director, John Halverson, the Ottawa guy, sort of walking around with his guide, his little thermometer. And he was saying, you know, if it hits 40, we really might have to consider calling this thing during the event. And it was hovering at like 38.7, you know. So, and that's not exactly the temperature. That's some sort of barometer that they have that mixes in the humidity plus the temperature, like plus the, you know, an advanced formula. But it's serious stuff. And you hate to see, I mean, that goes against everything, you know, that we stand for and that we love when you see people getting hurt.
Sure.
So obviously safety is first and foremost.
So just quickly, you're very excited about the next issue, which will be out at the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon a little bit later this month.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, running shops across the country as well, your independent running stores. And if there's a place where you are and you can't get the print issue, of course, you go to irun.ca and you get the free digital download that, you know, available to everybody. But it's also, we do distribute across the country. So if there is a running shop and if there's a place where you live and you want to see the magazine, just send me an email, ben@irun.ca, and I will call them and we will get the magazine to you. Because I'm telling you, this new issue, yeah, we have Krista Duchesne doing Andre DeGrasse, and we have Reed saying how like a distance runner or even a 5K, 10K, half marathon marathoner can run like him. And that is just like, those are just a couple of things. That's far from all.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing more about it maybe on next week's show. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk to singer-songwriter Sean McCann, formerly of Great Big Sea. We're also going to talk to a guy who has qualified for Boston once again and has a great story to tell about how he did it. And coming up next, a runner who took up marathon running at the age of 65. Ben,
nice.
Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, the incredible, the inspiring 70-year-old, Colleen Cooper Yan. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Our next guest on iRun Radio is someone who took up marathon running at the age of 65. She's now 70, and she's still going. We welcome Colleen Cooper Yan of Michigan. So,
yes.
Colleen, thank you very much for joining us. I've been really looking forward to this. Thank you for your time today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Tell me when you got into running. It wasn't until you were in your late 50s, I understand.
Yes, I was 59, and my daughter was training for the Army, and she could do everything, and I couldn't run. So I decided I needed to learn to run. And it took me 3 months to run 1 mile without stopping and walking, but I succeeded. And from, that would say, at the age of 59, and I went then from running 5Ks to 10Ks to half marathons, and at the age of 65, I ran my first marathon in Toledo, the Glass City Marathon, and that was in the year 2012. And I found out after I had ran the marathon that my time qualified me for Boston, and at that time I didn't even know you had to qualify to go to Boston. So
you were still so new to it.
I was so new to it, yes.
Well, you qualified in your very first marathon, which makes me very jealous. As you know, it took me a little longer than that.
And I was almost 10 minutes under the qualifying time, which was wonderful.
Well, good for you. Now, what was the experience of that first marathon like for you in Toledo?
Oh, it was phenomenal. I had trained very well, and I had run a half marathon a month before with a really good time, and I was feeling in top-notch shape, and I was feeling really good. And I ran continuously until mile 21. And at 21, I walked through the first water stop because I had water and I had fuel with me. And then I took off. But the last few miles, I thought, I'm going to struggle. But all I could do, I knew I could do it. I just got this picture of this mirage in front of me of my daughter in a rock. And she was in 120 degrees temperature in her full Army uniform, and I knew she would lead me back to the stadium, and I never let go of that vision till I hit the stadium.
Wow. That's pretty powerful.
Yes. I just knew it had to be, if she could do that in Iraq because she was there for 15 months, I could finish this marathon, and I did.
And did you tell her about it afterwards, how she was your inspiration?
Oh, yes. She knows she was my inspiration. I knew at that point that I had to get something in my mind or I was going to walk in, and I didn't want to walk in. So I just, and I noticed I was passing people, but I could just kept her in my little mirage vision, and she took me right into the stadium.
That's a wonderful story. And then you ran Boston the following year, which, of course, was the year of the bombing, right?
It was the bombing. We went there, and my hotel, unfortunately, was right near at the finish line. So I suddenly was running, and at a mile 24 and a half, I noticed that there were people walking backwards on the course. But in the meantime, there were helicopters flying and sirens going, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And so finally, I stopped running. I thought, I'd never seen people walking on a course, and this is Boston. And I stopped and said, what's going on? And they said, well, there's been an explosion at the finish line. And, of course, I figured, well, the timing machine blew up, you know, thinking, oh. I said, well, are we going to be redirected? And she said, oh, my goodness, no, people are killed. There's dead people. I just went into shock.
Yeah.
Just totally into shock. I just couldn't believe that here I am. I was there without my cell phone. I didn't figure I needed my cell phone. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know the city of Boston. And it was total chaos, just a chaotic feeling. Just what do you do? Where do you go? And I knew the big part of it was I had two friends waiting for me at the finish line. They had met me at mile 15 and had said, you go, and one of them had run a mile with me. So I didn't know if they were dead or not. This was my big fear.
Yeah.
There was a man there who got off the course, and his name was George Lewis from Boston. And he saw me, and he said, can I help you? And he took me and let me use his phone. That was the first thing to let my family know I was safe, because I knew they'd be panicked. And he took me to the area. It took about 2 hours to find my friends, but we had planned a meeting area in case I didn't see them at the finish line. And we had to go all the way around because everything was blocked off. You know, there was no easy way to get to this location because everything was cordoned off with all the Army and the Navy and the Coast Guard and the policemen. And there they were standing at the spot waiting for me. Well,
wow. What a relief.
It was so emotional. I just started to cry. I mean, I just hugged them probably for 10 minutes. It was just truly like something I'd never experienced before, because up to that point, I didn't know if they were alive or dead, and they were safe. And what had happened, the subway got delayed, and the bomb had gone off before they got to the finish line, so they were not there. They were diverted that they were safe.
Right. And then you got to run Boston again, but I understand that in between you had some health issues. Is that right?
Well, the thing was, one of the reasons I was running a little slower, I noticed that when I was training for Boston about March or in March, I was not gaining strength. And then when I started to run in Boston, the marathon, I noticed that my left arm after 3 miles started to swell up. And I thought, that's weird. And but I kept running and my time wasn't as good. I wasn't feeling as strong. 2 months later, as I could run less and less without getting out of breath, I was diagnosed with lymphoma.
Wow.
So what had happened, I had this lymph node growing in my left neck, and it was in my lymph gland, and probably that's what caused my arm to swell, the exertion and the heat, and I was diagnosed with lymphoma. And so I was just so upset. Not that I had lymphoma, it wasn't fun, but I thought this is going to interfere with running next year, because we had already gotten the letter that if you were past halfway, you could run it the following year without qualifying. You
right.
just had to sign up. And I so desperately wanted to cross that finish line. Like, I didn't get to do that. So after all the tests and everything, I went to the oncologist, and after he explained everything, he said to me, is there anything, any, you have any questions? And I said, yes, just one. Will I be finished with chemo in time enough to train for the Boston Marathon? He said, yes. And I said, well, then all is right with the world. So I ran through chemo. And I finished chemo in December and started my intensive training in January
wow.
and ran Boston in March. I mean, in April.
Yeah.
Now, my good friend decided to run with me. What we did, she didn't qualify, so I signed up to do a fundraiser for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Association so she could, you know, go with a charity to
right.
run with me so I wouldn't be alone. And we raised $15,000.
Terrific. Wow.
And
what was the experience like crossing the finish line finally 1 year later than you hoped to?
Oh, I have this wonderful picture of both of us. The photographer caught us going over the finish line with both our 4 feet off the ground.
Wow.
We were like flying over the line.
Yeah.
But it was so emotional coming up Boylston Street to see that finish line and to know that I was finally going to cross it. Now, of course, my time was not anything to brag about.
That doesn't matter.
No, it didn't matter. And we crossed, and they put that Boston Marathon medal around my neck, and it was so emotional. And what made it so emotional the second time was that my whole family decided that they would go to Boston to see me run it the second
Aww.
Time. No one, none of my family were there the first time. My three grandchildren, my daughters, my son-in-law, and they were on the top of Heartbreak Hill. So I came up over the top of Heartbreak Hill, and there were all my family with posters. Well, it was so emotional. I just ran over and hugged them all, and it was like gave me energy to go to the finish line.
That's a wonderful story. Now, are you okay now? Are you recovered from the lymphoma?
Well, I'm so far I'm good. I haven't had a recurrence, and I'm doing well. And I'm right now training for the Detroit International Half Marathon here in October because
okay.
I live in Groseal, as you know, just south of Detroit.
And so you're still running and running long distances?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm trying to run between 20 and 30 miles a week.
Wow. Good for you. And you are now 70 years old, is that right?
Yes. And to celebrate my 69th year, I ran a half a marathon every month. And I ran a half marathon on my 70th birthday. My time was 2:20. It wasn't that great, but, you know, I did it.
Wow. That's a great time. That's a terrific time. You're 70 years old. There are people half your age who would love to run that time.
I am a Newfie. I am from Newfoundland.
Okay. Well, that answers a lot of questions.
I'm a Canadian.
There you go.
I was a Canadian. I'm still duo. And, you know, in Newfoundland, we grow up strong.
Yes. No question.
So, I'm very proud to be a Newfoundlander.
Well, and I'm sure Newfoundland is proud of you, having heard these stories. Now, what do you get from running, and what keeps you doing it?
What I get from running is that feeling that it's just like a self-fulfilling thing. You get out there, you're having a difficult day, and I hit the road, and it's like all my worries disappear, everything disappears, and I'm in it like a zen place where I just love it. And I've met the most wonderful friends. Runners, I have decided, are the most wonderful people in the world. I have a whole circle in our running club that I didn't know before. It's such a supportive community. And I really got, you know, started to run for release. My husband was quite ill, and I was caring for him. And the nice thing about running was I could put on my running shoes at the door. He had a cell phone, and I could run around my block, which was about 3/4 of a mile, and I could run around it 10 times, and I was never very far from home.
Wow.
If well, he needed me, I was there.
Yeah.
And the sad part is he was still alive when I ran my first marathon and knew I qualified for Boston, but he died in September, so he never got to – he knew. He says, you have to go. You have to go to Boston.
Yeah.
So it was with his insistence that I went, and so here I am. I'm still running.
And you're terrific. Colly, it's such a great pleasure to talk to you and to hear your story. And I wish you luck in the half marathon and as you continue doing amazing things. Thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you for calling me. I appreciate it a great deal. Happy running.
That's Colly Hooper-Yan. Coming up next, a runner who's off to the Boston Marathon. iRun Radio is brought to you by the Niagara Falls International Marathon, crossing the Peace Bridge from the U.S. into Canada on October 15, 2017. The Niagara Falls International Marathon is celebrating its 20th anniversary as one of the most unique races in the world. Welcome back. I first met our next guest at the Chile Half Marathon in Burlington, Ontario. He's a runner from the Niagara region who's qualified for the Boston Marathon. Charles Gervais, welcome to iRun Radio.
Well, thank you for having me, Mark.
So let's go back to the beginning of when you started running and what caused you to do that. How did this story begin?
Sure. I started about 5.5 years ago. I was in my early 30s and hadn't ran since high school and had put on a significant amount of weight, probably 40 or 50 pounds overweight. And my wife was encouraging me to run, but I had all the excuses of being too old, too fat, bad knees, no time, etc. Noticed that a few of my friends were running, and I was rather envious of what they were accomplishing. And one day it just clicked that I had better, you know, do something to get in shape. And my daughter at the time was involved in rowing, which is pretty big down here in Niagara. And I'd be dropping her off at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and then have to pick her up a couple hours later. And I figured it was a perfect time to try this running thing in an unfamiliar neighborhood where nobody knew me and no one would recognize me, and I couldn't embarrass myself. So after dropping her off at rowing, I would hit the road and see what I was capable of.
Well, not only that, not only were you in an unfamiliar area where nobody would see you, but you're up anyway, right?
That's right. Might as well do something.
Yeah, exactly. So how did it go at first?
Well, you know, sometimes people have talents which they don't actually recognize that they might have, and things come easier to others than to some, you know, other people. And my first day, I probably ran about 400 meters and was winded. Second day, I went a little bit longer. Third day, a little bit longer. And hate to say it, but by the end of the week, I was probably doing 5K in around 30 minutes. And even though I hadn't ran in a while, it came back real quick and was easy for me. And I recognize that most other people don't have that same luck that they do when it comes to running.
But you didn't even have the right shoes at first, right?
No, I started running. I had not owned running shoes in probably 20 years and hadn't made the commitment to start running. There was that fear that if I, you know, started and didn't like it, then I'd be seen as a failure. So I was running in hiking shoes for a while, for the first week. And it wasn't until, you know, I was in it a week, I thought, okay, I can do this. I'm pretty good at this. I then went to the running store and bought my first pair of running shoes.
And things picked up pretty quickly from there, right? You ended up doing a half marathon and then not long after that, a marathon.
Yep. By August of that year. So I started running May, and by the end of August, I was up to 21K. I was just pushing, you know, a little bit further, a little bit faster. Still didn't really consider myself a runner or didn't think I was fast. I had no intentions of actually running a race. It was just, you know, seeing what I could do. And by August, I had ran the distance, the 21.1K, and checked my time, and it was under 2 hours, about, you know, 1:57 or so. And didn't realize whether that was good or not, checked out my friends' times online and realized, wow, I'm actually faster than I thought I was. So then I, you know, really convinced myself, okay, I'm a runner. I can do this. And a few, well, 6 or 7 months later, February of 2013, it was a gorgeous sunny day, and I just went out for a run. One of those, I just want to go out and run forever. And less than 4 hours later, I had ran 42.2 kilometers. It was about 3 hours, 54 minutes. And, you know, running a marathon in under 4 hours when you hadn't even expected to run a marathon that morning with no hydration, no nutrition, I recognized then that, okay, this is it. I'm a marathon runner and I need to actually sign up.
Okay, so just a second, though, because you basically just went out for a run and came home 3 hours and 54 minutes later having run a marathon distance. That's how it happened.
That's absolutely correct.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Not everybody does that. That's not the
normal
path.
And, you know, and like I said, whenever I talk to people who are new runners who have been running for a while, you can't compare yourself to me. You can't compare yourself to other people. I can't compare myself to the Kenyans. Everyone is different. Everyone has their own abilities. And the only one you can compare yourself to is where you were at yesterday.
Exactly.
And within the goals and expectations that you have. So if you never expect to run a marathon, then, you know, don't ever put that pressure on yourself. If you never expect to run a 20-minute 5K, don't put that expectation on yourself. But as long as you are improving and striving and pushing, you'd be really surprised at what you're capable of doing and sometimes really quickly making those improvements.
So from there, I guess you decided you've got to do an actual organized marathon, not just a 42.2K run from your door. And
that's right.
You also set the goal of qualifying for Boston.
Well, at that time, I didn't even know what it would take to qualify for Boston. So it was late February. I'd signed up for the Mississauga Marathon, which was 10 weeks out. It was going to be my first race ever as an adult. And sometime between signing up and the marathon, you know, once you've signed up, you sort of start looking around and you read about Boston. And I saw the qualifying time that I needed, which was 3:25. And I thought, sure, I can knock 30 minutes off my time and qualify for Boston. And my training plan back then was just run longer, run faster, and hope for the best. And, I entered Mississauga with the naive expectation of hitting the Boston qualifying time. And I did. I ran for about 30 kilometers on pace. And then people say they hit the wall. For me, I say the wall hit me. It hit me, and it hit me hard, to the point where my pace dropped to almost 8 minutes per kilometer. I was crawling across the finish line at the end and missed qualifying for Boston by 9 minutes. But, you know, in that, for a first attempt, that was not all that bad.
Sure, exactly. Mm-hmm. So then you tried again?
Then I committed to taking it seriously. At first it was, you know, I'm never going to do this again. That was foolish, and why would anyone put themselves through this?
Yeah, that's the way everybody feels after their first marathon, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as most people feel, you know, a week later, they're signing up for their next one.
Right.
But if I was going to sign up for another, it was going to be taking on a serious training plan, working towards it, and knowing that I was going to qualify for Boston the next time out. And, you know, some people, it takes 12 times to qualify, as you know. Like, it's not something that is always easy. You can't always knock 9 minutes off your time or 20 minutes off your time or whatnot. But given that I hadn't really trained properly for the first one, I looked into, you know, what is it going to take me to knock the time off and qualify for Boston? And if I've learned two lessons, it's, you know, number one, the marathon is as much mental as physical. It's not just about running for 3 or 4 hours. It's about overcoming the adversity. It's about waking up and getting yourself out there early in the morning when it's pouring rain, knowing that you have to get out there and run 32K if you are looking to improve. It's about, you know, the last 3 or 4 kilometers wanting nothing more than just to give up and lie down in the ditch and saying to yourself, I can do another 100 meters. I can do another 100 meters. I can do another 100 meters. And just keep moving forward until you hit your goal. And that's exactly what I went through my first time running the Niagara Falls International Marathon, and ended up finishing and qualifying for Boston with 8 minutes to spare. And it was, like I said, as much just mental and motivational as it was the physical aspect of it.
And then what was your Boston experience like?
Boston, well, I mean, you've been to Boston. You know how amazing the crowd support, the city, the whole experience of Boston cannot be beat. And I like to say it's like running through a 4th of July parade just over and over. Every town you run through, you know, people are cheering you on and almost trying to outdo each other on, you know, who can be the best cheerleaders. And Boston, I had really ramped up my training. Knowing that I was able to ramp up the training for the qualifier, I thought, okay, let's see how great I can actually do. And I had trained to run Boston in 3 hours and 12 minutes. It was a cold and rainy day, and that actually suits me better. I cannot run in the heat, but you throw cold and rain and just keep me cool as long as possible. And, I actually improved by about a minute and a half on my time and finished Boston in, I want to say, 3:14:46, somewhere in there, which to this date is still my personal best in the marathon.
Good for you. And I think that was the same day I ran the Boston Marathon in 2015 when it was cold and windy.
It was, yeah.
And so tell me, Charles, what running means to you. This is still something that's relatively new in your life, and yet you've done so much with it. What does it mean to you?
Well, there comes a time when, at least for me, the competition has to sort of take second place, and I really feel the need to start giving back to the community now and helping others to reach their goals. And since my first Boston, I've actually ran it again twice. I've been three last year's and didn't do as well the last 2 years. It was hot out. I hadn't trained as well. Quite honestly, my second one, I went in there just a little too self-assured, knowing, oh, I've done this before. I've got it. And with Boston, it's not a course that you can disrespect, and it hit me hard. And I finished 25 minutes slower than my first effort. Decided to go back again a third time to redeem myself, and ended up 10 minutes slower again, so 35 minutes slower than the first effort. Have not qualified for the 2018 Boston. So, you know, as much as it might have seemed easy for me to get there the first time, I'm not going back next year. It's just not something that you can do every year. But in the past 3 years, I've been working with a lot of other runners in Niagara, and a friend of mine and I set up a local running club called Morningstar Runners, colloquially called the Saturday Morning Stallions, and it was really just a bunch of guys getting together on Saturday mornings to encourage each other to, you know, reach their goals, to push a little harder, push a little further. We're now up to about 60 people, and even though I'm not going back to Boston this year, 8 people from this group are now qualified and signed up for Boston 2018. Yeah, and some of the stories are just incredibly phenomenal. You know, we've got one girl, Cynthia, she's, you know, early 40s. She does the obstacle course races, like the Spartan races, and she is currently ranked number one in the world obstacle course racing for her age group, and she's going to the World Championships in Lake Tahoe. You know, we have another runner, Rob, who is he's a 2:45 marathoner. He's looking to run the Niagara Falls half marathon this year to set the Guinness World Record as the fastest half marathon dressed as a fruit. He's actually going to be dressed up as a bunch of grapes, and there's a very good chance that he's going to make that. We've got one runner, Neil, and Neil is a Niagara Regional Police officer who was shot in the line of duty 2 years ago, shot through the shoulder, and the bullet entered his neck, and it was touch and go for him for a while. And he started running with us about a year ago, and the drive, the motivation to succeed, he has improved dramatically. And just last week at the Erie Marathon, he has qualified for Boston for 2018. And these are the types of stories that I just, you know, really, really encourage me to work with others, to run with others, to help others achieve their goals. These, to me, are much more fulfilling than myself running another qualifier and doing it again.
Well, good for you. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, you're. It's not just about you anymore. It's about all these other runners that you've met. It's an incredible story. Charles, really appreciate you joining us on the show. Continued success to you and the other members of your club. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Have a good day, Mark.
That's Charles Gervais. Coming up next, singer-songwriter Sean McCann. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back to iRun Radio. I had the chance to run this week with Sean McCann, the singer-songwriter and former member of Great Big C. And then we sat down by a beautiful waterfall in Ottawa and talked running. Sean McCann, welcome to the show.
It's great to be on your show, Mark.
Tell me about how you got into running and what it's meant for you and how you balance that with your crazy schedule as an artist.
I actually ran in high school a little bit, but with no, cross country as a kind of an outlet. But when I started touring on the bus would typically drive overnight, and we'd wake up in the morning in some city like Chicago or New York or Philly or Edmonton. So I get up and drink a lot of coffee and recover from the previous night's party. And I would always go for a run, and I'd always get lost and find my way back. So the runs were irregular. They could be like 6K or 10K or even 20. But I always used to get, the experience for me was getting lost and finding my way back home. And it kept me straight, and straight as I could be anyway.
Yeah, isn't that also the experience of an artist in a way, getting lost and finding your way back home?
Yeah, I always, it is, it's kind of metaphorical, I suppose. But I always, I never come back the same way. I always try to make a circle of it, or, you know, so whatever way. I try not to come back exactly the same way I left. And I think that's, there's a great comparable there to songwriting. If you ever write songs, it is a kind of a circular conversation you have with yourself. So the more ground and the more territory you can include in a series of lyrics that are not the same, the better the imagery, right? So.
And do you ever write songs or come up with lyrics while you're running?
I do. Sometimes I haven't taken them today, but sometimes I run with my phone. There are some benefits to the phones, the little microphones, like the voice messaging. So I'd have melodies in my head and I'd sing them, or lyrics. So I have a huge collection of bits and pieces that are running, and you can hear me panting on the ones I'm running on. But I collect little bits of information, and they all eventually, when it comes time to the ones that return to me, like they become pieces of puzzles. And when I get alone time, when I go up to the mountains or back to Newfoundland, I sit down, and the first thing I'll do is go through my inventory. Last time I had over 1,100 pieces of music, either lyrics or melodies that I'd sing, la 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 la, and I'd have those things to build on.
Can you remember a specific time when you came up with something on a run that made its way into one of your songs?
Yeah, good people.
Good people aren't hard to find. They're right around the corner at the end of the line. It's true. Good people got peace of mind. And I'd like to spend some time with you. Ooh.
Good people aren't hard to find. They're right around the corner at the end of the line. The end of the line is a roadhouse restaurant in Annapolis Valley, Annapolis, Nova Scotia. Annapolis Royal, Nova Scotia is the proper name of the town. And I was out running. I was out writing in a had a cottage out there for a weekend. It's a beautiful area. And I found myself running down the little country road, and I met some people outside this place called the End of the Line. That's the name of the restaurant.
Good name for a restaurant.
Yeah, and you know what? Full of good people. I met all these people, and they started talking to me. They didn't know who I was. And they just started talking to me, and they were curious. They knew I wasn't from there. And they invited me in. We had the longest kind of chat, and made lifelong friends with them. And they were just really nice to me. And it was just, in today's world, and especially, you know, like, when you're open to that, you know, it's nice to see that people are still able in the digital world to be really, really friendly face to face and unafraid of strangers. So that's where that song came from.
Very cool. Now, we're sitting here by a beautiful waterfall in Ottawa. Have you, do you have favorite places you like to run, certain kinds of environments you like to run in?
I love what's beautiful here. And Ottawa is a great city for running. I find I don't like running in like on highways or I always the nicer the scenery. So I prefer to run on trails, up the canal or whatever. But trees and green grass, flowers, people, not away from cars. And I find that that somehow like alleviates the pain. Like I can run for a lot longer and a lot happier when I'm in nature, as opposed to being on a highway or in a business park or by a shopping mall.
Sure. Now, we've had other musicians on the show before, and so there are others who run and who make it part of their routine when they're on the road and use that as their way of keeping some sanity about the whole thing and staying healthy, but there are lots who don't. And when you were traveling and you'd be the guy getting up early and going for a run, did anybody ever look at you like you were crazy?
Every day. And I mean, I used to drink a lot too, so I don't know, I had a propensity for Catholic guilt kicking in, but I used to punish myself every morning, so I used to run hungover a lot. But generally, no, I was always a fairly early riser, but yeah, I'd get a lot of weird looks. You know, you'd walk out of you'd crawl out of your coffin of a bunk, and you know, there'd be nothing but like, it was like a bomb went off, nothing but beer cans and rum bottles or whatever, and you'd make your you dig your way out through the detritus, the flotsam, and you just set out and clear your head, you know. But no, I was alone in that pursuit, always. I never had a partner.
And what do you get out of running? What does it do for you aside from, you know, keeping in shape and that kind of thing?
It's a real head clearer, but it also gives me energy. Like if I put a run in, it's time efficient. So it's like you only need a sneakers. I don't like going to gyms. It just saves time. You can just get out of your hotel room and go, or out of your bus and go, or out of your car and go. But the energy, so if you, and I usually run in the morning, but that energy is in my body. So if the show's at 8 o'clock and I'm a little tired, I have a cup of coffee, but it's the energy that I got from the run. Like people think it's a depletion of energy, but you and I both know it's not. It's putting energy in your body that you can use all day and the next day. So, you know, it's all a matter about running carefully and not hurting yourself, because the benefits are long-lasting.
You've talked openly about some of the challenges that you've had in your life, and you've been an advocate for mental health. Is running part of your mental health regimen as well?
Yep. As you know, I believe music is medicine, but I know that there's a great benefit to physical activity. My friend Clara Hughes is a huge inspiration, beautiful human being. She's taken me, her mantra is movement is medicine. And she's taken me on some long runs uphill in the mountains. And, you know, it really, you know, I'm talking 12K, you know, over 4,000 elevation. And she's a six-time Olympian, so that I should probably know better than to run with someone like that.
She's a six-time Olympian, and you're not.
No. But, you know, I get it. I understood. You know, you run to the top of a mountain and it's a success story. It's really hard on your body. But, you know, having done that a few times now, I'll never forget the experience. It was worth every drop of sweat. And it wasn't just physical benefit to me. It was mental. It was totally a mental benefit. So movement is medicine on a mental level.
That singer-songwriter, Sean McCann. His new album is called There's a Place. And that's it for the latest edition of iRun Radio. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.